Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week.
I grew up in poverty. Poverty is when you don't think about the future because your present is what's terrifying and most urgent. And then there's this enormous gap. And on the other side of that are the folks that are working in the food processing plants and the folks that are working in grocery stores and the folks that are working, stepping up and making a phone call and saying, how can I help? The phrase that annoys me the most is dignity and poverty. There's nothing dignified about poverty. Nothing. But it really isn't hard to help somebody. And it's actually like really good for your soul. Once the word started to get out, people were more than happy to help us out, which has been terrific.
I am speaking with Laura Quigley. She is the commissioner of the Division of Community Resources. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Oh, thank you so much, Sabrina, for having me.
So let's begin with what you do. What does this mean that you're the commissioner for the Division of Community Resources? What are the departments you oversee?
This is a new division that the county created, and the departments that fall under it are the Department of Transportation, the Center for Workforce Development that I used to oversee, the Office for the Aging, the Veterans Office, and the Youth Bureau.
We are in the coronavirus pandemic, and I'm interested to speak to you about what this means for our rural and small town community in Sullivan County, New York, and who is needing the services that the Division of Community Resources provides. And let's look at where there are also additional needs, where there may be deficits within the department because of resources or because of a lack of awareness of certain things. And this pandemic perhaps has increased not only the needs, but awareness around the vulnerable community members that you represent.
One of the strengths of the division is that those departments do represent services that get provided to targeted and often vulnerable populations. I took over on March 16th, the legislature appointed me, and then the pandemic took off, and they asked me to create an emergency center of sorts. So we created the Emergency Community Assistance Center that opened on March 20th with the focus of specifically to senior citizens, to people who had underlying medical conditions and should not be out in the community at that time, and also for those people that ended up being quarantined because they either tested positive or they were exposed. Those are the three primary groups, although anybody that contacts the center, we will try and help. We've been getting calls from people who have been still trying to get through their unemployment claim and have been running very low on resources. So they're reaching out to us and look to help either hook people up with other services within the community. And we've worked, built off of our existing relationships of nonprofits and other organizations. Because it could be as simple as a senior who needs her shopping done, but really, you know, she can't go out and do it. Or it could be someone whose resources are so low, they're in need of food or they need to pick up medicine. And so we look to take care of those needs so those people, especially our real fragile and vulnerable people, are not out and about during this particular time.
Let's talk about the specifics of some of these needs. You mentioned food. You mentioned assistance with grocery shopping. Also, what about masks? What about hand sterilizer? What about our essential workers who are most vulnerable in the community?
Well, there's definitely the PPE is an issue. We launched through the center what we call the Mask Brigade in April and asked a lot of the great sewers in our county, which we know are many, to begin making masks, which they have done and just really stepped up and provided a lot of masks. And between that and the shipments that the county has been able to receive through the state, we've been very much focused on getting masks out to our low-income workers, our senior families, you know, our senior citizens, our communities that live in subsidized housing, and all of those folks that tend to be most vulnerable. and we've been working very hard to get masks out to them, tapping into our partners as well as businesses like pharmacies to help us reach those populations. That is the need. Hand sanitizer is like gold, not easy to come by, although it does seem to be getting somewhat better. The big thing that we see, though, is really the food insecurity that we know is always there, but is very much exacerbated by the pandemic. And it has, that insecurity has grown, where people who prior to this may have been a few rungs further up the ladder and maybe not quite so insecure are now, because they've quickly lost their job. They can't really get out and about and go places. And these are not folks that necessarily have big savings accounts and such. And so we see a lot of those folks, not just from the food side of it, but also making sure they have masks for when they do get back to work, and even those that are now working in grocery stores, et cetera. Those are the two big things that we see: the food insecurity, without a doubt, the insecurity around basic needs such as shampoo and diapers and formula and those things that you and I might take for granted. We start to run low, not a big deal, just run out and get it. For some people, that is a major deal.
So you're describing a large need in our community of Sullivan County, New York, in the Catskills, many vulnerable people, communities here. During this pandemic, you're mentioning partners.
So on the very street level, is where we work closely with our local nonprofits that we have established relationships with. So our partners that we work closely with, Action Towards Independence, SALT, Cornell Cooperative Extension. We have local organizations such as the ELK in Monticello, or the veterans organization known as AMVET. These are organizations that have stepped up, that we work closely with in terms of being able to gather donations as well as distribute and get food out to communities, as well as other supplies and needs that they have. That group has been instrumental. And then we have the town supervisors, and we have volunteers in all the towns. And it is incredible when you look at that street level, how quickly people come and step up. The county leadership during the pandemic, I think, has been very strong, and we've received a lot of the support that we need in order to be able to get the center going and to do what we need. Of course, there's always a need for money. There's always a need for money.
So I was in South Fallsburg at the chicken processing plant on Friday, and I was there with some representatives from the Rural Migrant Ministry, from the Hudson Valley Area Labor Federation, and they were handing out masks and information for health and safety practices for COVID-19. So I'm just wondering, are these parts of the community outreach? I mean, have there been deficits? So there needs to be more individuals standing outside of plants and factories to provide resources for, in this case, really communities of color, the Latino community?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I had contacted Rural Migrant Ministries to help us, and they were already starting to work. So I was able to provide them with a large number of masks so that they could get that out, along with our public health outreach worker, who also was working closely with that community, so that we could really get as many masks out to them and all of their family members. We didn't want to necessarily rely, put that burden on an employer. We wanted to take that on ourselves to make sure that the worker plus their family members would get masks. And then it gave us an opportunity to find out what other needs they might have.
There was a high percentage of COVID-19 positive cases in the Latino community.
Yes.
Locally. Would you say that this coronavirus pandemic has exacerbated previously existing conditions?
It exacerbated it for the individuals, but on the other side of it, it has also shined a light on what is easily dismissed, ignored. We have to get on with our business. And so I think that county leaders, state leaders, have an opportunity to really come together. It's one of the things that I want to do, is to say, okay, we know this exists. We see how bad it has become during the pandemic. Where are the gaps? Where are the holes? Where do we need to fill that in so we can tighten that safety net and we can make sure that the holes are patched up and solid so that people don't fall through the cracks, which is always, for me anyway, one of the things I worry about the most. You know, you never feel like you do enough. You always are worried about those people that are falling through the cracks.
And do you have any stories you can share with us about some of these people who live in our community? And certainly Sullivan County is not unusual for having this situation, right? And having, I mean, I guess I'd like to talk to you about your perception of the different worlds that live in Sullivan County, and perhaps your hopes for some positive outcomes, some larger collaborations or different ways of doing things that perhaps this pandemic is providing, even in the midst of the urgency and the crisis of it.
Sabrina, one of the most glaring things, I guess would be the word, that I see is, you know, I have people in my personal life, whatever, and that are riding out the pandemic. They're working from home. They get to spend a lot of time with their kids. They're helping with homeschooling. They're riding bikes. They're hiking. They're doing all of those wonderful things that I hope they continue to do once the pandemic is done, and that they don't overschedule themselves and their kids and they slow down. And then there's this enormous gap. And on the other side of that are the folks that are working in the food processing plants, and the folks that are working in grocery stores, and the folks that are working in other gas stations and such, or have lost their jobs and don't have that luxury. And they're afraid and scared about how are they paying their rent? How are they going to get food? That this is not a chance for them to relax. It actually heightens all of those insecurities that they have in their world. And I think it has brought that into sharp relief. And it behooves us as a county to make sure that we do not forget that, that we focus on that so that that can be relieved, and that we think about who else needs to be brought to the table so that we can look to fix and mitigate as much of this as possible. I mean, we've had stories across the spectrum. You have the nurse who's a single mom who tests positive, goes into work testing positive, boom, all of a sudden she's got 4 kids and $40 and she can't leave her house now for 2 weeks. So yes, we absolutely helped her as much as the family whose the mother and daughter worked at the food processing, both tested positive. There's them, there's dad, there's the rest of the kids, grandmas, 10 of them in a family. They don't have a savings account. What they want to do, though, is they want to get better and go back to work. They are grateful for the help. And when we always ask, what's your plan after this? It's going back to work. And then to the senior citizen, who is very vulnerable and could be alone, and their kids are living elsewhere, and they can't go anywhere, and they're scared.
Do you have any other stories of a person or a family in our community who is vulnerable at this moment?
You know, it's people that you don't really think of, that it doesn't come to your mind unless it's an issue that you happen to be dealing with. So you have in poor families, and there was one particular family, where colleges stopped early. Kids are sent home. A young lady's work study is done, and that work study gives her that extra money that she needs during the semester. As she comes home, she needs personal care products that her family has no money to provide. Unless you've been in that situation, that is something that I know people would be like, oh, come on. Really? No, really. That's
right.
Poverty.
How would you describe poverty?
You know, there's two ways to define it. There is the socioeconomic definition of income levels. There's the more abstract of emotional poverty. But I grew up in poverty. And poverty is when you are worried about, when you don't think about the future because your present is what's terrifying and most urgent. It is when you don't know how you're going to pay the mortgage. It's when you don't know where the next meal is coming from. It is when a flat tire, catastrophic, because there's just no money and you still have to get to work. That's poverty. I see more often than not people, they work so hard and they try and do everything right, and they still live that constant stress and fear of it's all going to fall down in 1 second, one small mishap. Poverty is, there's no, the phrase that annoys me the most is dignity and poverty. There's nothing dignified about poverty. Nothing.
So what do you think can emerge from this pandemic? And what do you hope could happen possibly?
I am hopeful that people will take the forced time out that most people had to take, and took that time to go check on their neighbors, took that time to figure out how they can help out in their community, and paid attention to not the noise that necessarily comes out of Washington, D.C., but the local news, the local things that are going on, to see where they might be able to help and they might be able to step in and be part of the solution. That is my hope. My hope is that we will be able to step back and we will be able to say, okay, this is what the county does well. This is where we need to do more.
You just shared with us that there's nothing dignified about poverty. And what is it that you would like to see happen? Because there's so many challenges in the county. And I'm just wondering, what is it now in a crisis where the situation has been made even worse in the county, and yet you're describing the collaborations, the community organizations, the activists, people coming together, recognizing the increased need. So I'm just wondering, what is it that you would hope for our neighbors in Sullivan County, New York, for neighbors across the country who are struggling? What do you want to share with them from your county in Sullivan County, New York?
I think probably one of the biggest things, because you have to go with what you have control over and what you don't have control over. You don't have control over Washington, D.C., except make sure you vote. You don't have control sometimes over the state, except maybe to vote. So locally, what you have control over is taking care of each other, is paying attention to what is going on, is stepping up and making a phone call and saying, how can I help? It is maybe looking at reprioritizing not just you yourself, but also looking, you know, you go to town meetings, you go to village meetings, you go to this, you go to that, and you start to talk about the need to take care of everyone, and to make sure that everyone in the county is okay. Everybody doesn't have to be financially equal, and everybody doesn't have to be financially rich, and it's not that. It's making sure that everybody's okay. It's making sure that a young lady has the hygiene products that she needs. It's making sure that an elderly woman is not terrified, or if she is scared, there's somebody there going, don't worry, I've got you. I'll do this for you. There are things that we can't fix, because otherwise, if I could, things would be a lot different.
So take us there, though. If you could, what would you do? If you could, right?
Oh, if I ruled the world?
Yes, sure.
If I ruled the world, there would be a significant minimum wage. There would be, college would not be a burden on anybody. All public education would be paid for. All trades would be celebrated as highly as somebody who wishes to go into law school or pre-med. All students, all children would be valued for the wonderful individuals that they are. everybody would speak more than one language. There would be, oh my goodness, nobody would have to worry about health care. Everybody would be able to go to a doctor, be able to go to a hospital. There would be a box of devil dogs would cost $25 and a bag of apples would cost $1. That's what I would do.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Laura. So you were describing some of the collaborations, the networks that have emerged during this time. You mentioned SALT. You mentioned the Cornell Cooperative Extension, the Rural Migrant Ministry. Feel free to elaborate on any of those. You also, I'm just wondering if you can speak about the food pantry and the Hudson Valley food pantry, you know, things like that. So people are aware of some of this outreach that's happening in the community and how you're working together.
Yeah,
what they, I'm interested in the networks that are emerging.
So some of the, there are organizations that, like the Federation for the Homeless. Federation for the Homeless gives food out. They also have, they serve lunch every day. They do a lot to help a lot of people in need. You have other organizations that also at different points in time will do food drives and food donations and stuff. And when the pandemic hit, we knew the need was going to be bigger, especially with the targeted groups that we were looking at who couldn't leave their homes and such. So we reached out to the Salvation Army of Orange and Sullivan, and they've been fabulous. They have consistently sent us a minimum of 40 boxes of food every week. And then we, you know, almost all the towns have food pantries, and you know, at least one. And so we contacted the Hudson Valley Food Bank, and we were able to set up for them to come up here now regularly every week and do another round of food for all of the food pantries so that people can get food more often. And that's been working great. That's been
and then you also great. Mentioned SALT, right? Yes. Anyone else that?
SALT has brought has definitely brought us food and had gotten some donations and did some shopping for us. The Elks in Monticello did a major food shopping for us, like $2,000 worth of food and stuff, as well as the AmVets organization. And there's many others. I mean, many other organizations have dropped food off, and you had things like, you know, business like Jeff Bank, who gave us like bags and bags and bags that we can put the food in to deliver. And so that people, once the word started to get out, people were more than happy to help us out, which has been terrific.
I'm speaking with Laura Quigley, who's the commissioner of the Division of Community Resources in Sullivan County, New York, in the Catskills. Laura, I'm just wondering if you can let people know how they can reach you, what is needed from individuals, how they can contribute in addition to financial donations. Are there other needs that you'd like to share with our listeners?
If somebody wishes to make a financial donation, I would prefer that they donate to their local pantry in their town. I think that would be terrific. If they can volunteer some time, they can call the Emergency Community Assistance Center, which is at 845-807-0925. And if they want to speak directly to me, they can ask for me at that number, or they can call 845-807-0388.
What would you like to share with us about your favorite parts of Sullivan County? What your connection is to it here, maybe a description of it so people know a little bit more about not only your connection to Sullivan County and your favorite places, but perhaps somebody listening who's not familiar.
I'm a transplant. I came up here from Northern Jersey a long time ago, had different opportunities to leave, chose not to, because it is absolutely beautiful here. It is close to the city and my family. And also the other thing is, what I really like about being up here is you have an opportunity to do different things. I have colleagues who have done work similar to me in urban and suburban areas and whatever, and you can be pigeonholed. You can find yourself getting pigeonholed. We're up here because there's not as many hands. You get to roll up your sleeves and do a lot more things. And that is one of the things that I really like a lot. And I really like the people here. I like the people in Sullivan County very much. The only thing that I can say is that people get caught up in their everyday with their jobs and their families and everything. We're all stressed out. And I understand that. But it really isn't hard to help somebody. And it's actually like really good for your soul.
Thank you so much, Laura.
You're welcome very much. And to make sure that everyone in the county is okay. All trades would be celebrated as highly as somebody who wishes to go into law school or pre-med. A box of Devil Dogs would cost $25 and a bag of apples would cost $1. It has also shined a light on what is easily dismissed, ignored. We have to get on with our business, and that we think about who else needs to be brought to the table so that we can look to fix and mitigate as much of this as possible.
I've been speaking with Laura Quigley, who is the commissioner of the Division of Community Resources. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, on March 20th, was tasked with setting up the Emergency Community Assistance Center, the ECAC.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.